Hey, good morning, everybody. Today's daf is Shabbos daf Kuf Chaf Aleph. Today's shir is sponsored by Dr. David Lander in honor of his wife and children, and also Lizuchus Rufus Shalema for Meir Yosef Ben Yita by his children and grandchildren. We thank both sponsors very much for the sponsorship. So we are holding, well, not sure where we're holding because we didn't have a shir yesterday, so we're going to pick up from where we left off last cycle on this daf, and that is on daf Kuf Chaf Amud Beis, where we're about to answer the stira in the Rabbanan, by the Yihachi Kasha de Rabbanan, Ad Rabbanan, about seven, eight lines from the end of the page. Yihachi Kasha de Rabbanan, Ad Rabbanan, last run line is Umma. That's what we're going to pick up, and the first thing we're going to discuss is to answer the Stira within the Sheet of the Rabbanan. We already answered the Stira within the Sheet of Rabbi Yossi between Gram Kiboy versus Gram Mechika. Why would it be that one would be Mutter, the other one Asur, or vice versa? Then the Mishnah on the top of Amud Aleph is going to discuss if a non-Jew or a child is about to extinguish a fire, do you have to stop them from extinguishing the fire on Shabbos, even though it's going to save much of your property? And then the Gemara is going to discuss some of the details of that. Then the Mishnah on the bottom of Amud Aleph is going to discuss moving a kli in order to cover something, in order to protect something or protect people from encountering something. And the Gemara is going to discuss, since one of the items is to cover tzoa, the muktzah status of tzoa. Can you just pick up the tzoa itself and get rid of it if you want to get rid of it? Why do you have to take a kli in order to cover it? And that's going to lead the Gemara also into discussion, since one of the items mentioned in the Mishnah is to cover something, some sort of animal that's threatening. So the Gemara is going to discuss killing animals that are dangerous or that are otherwise threatening on Shabbos. So let's begin on Daf Kuf Chaf and Beis. Again, we are at Ihachi Kasha Drabanan Adrabanan. Just to recap what we're up to over here, we had a double stira between Rabbi Yossi and the Rabbanan with regard to between what they hold about Gram Mechika versus what they hold about Gram Kibui. When it came to Gram Kibui, when it came to extinguishing a fire, Al Yidei Grama, by using Klei Cheres Chadashim, Melei Mayim, brand new Klei Cheres, full of water, so that when the fire hits them, the Kelim will burst and the water will come and extinguish the fire, Rabbi Yossi was Machmir, did not allow doing that. Machmir and Gram Kibui and the Rabbanan were Mekel. Yet when it comes to Gram Mechika, someone had Shem Hashem, Kosov Al Basaram, and they need to go to the mikveh, so the Rabbanan say, Korech Gemi, you have to cover it up with a Gemi, with something, in order that it should not be, cause a Mechikas Hashem. Whereas Rabbi Yossi said, Nah, Tovel Kedarka, you don't have to worry about a Gram Mechika. So the Stira and Rabbi Yossi, we already answered that we're going to be more nervous about a Gram Kiboy, because Adam Ba'al Al-Mamono, a person is going to be very nervous about his money, and he's Sharis Le'asi Lechbuye, he's going to come to extinguish the fire if you allow the Gram Kiboy. But now the Gemara says, wait a second, but what about the Sheet of the Rabbanan? Why are the Rabbanan more machmir by the Gram Mechika than they are by the Gram Kibui? So says Mar Ihachi, Kasha Drabbanan Ad Rabbanan. Uma Hasam Dadam Baal Al Mamono Shari, even in the case of Gram Kibui, where we have the Svara that Adam Baal Al Mamono, and therefore he might actually come to be Mechabit, nevertheless we're still Matir. So Hachalo Kolshkein, by Gram Mechika, we should for sure be Matir to the person to go to the Mikvah Kedarko. Why does he have to be Korech Gemi over the Shem Hashem? Says Mar Vitizbra, you think that the reason the Chum require Krichas Gemi over the Shem Hashem is in order that it shouldn't get erased? Hi Gemi, hey Chidami. What kind of Gemi do you think we're talking about over here? If it's attached really well, Kavi Chatzitza, then the Tevila is not going to be good anyway. It's going to be a Chatzitza on the skin. It's going to be a Chatzitza Midrabana, not Midaraisa. Midaraisa, the Gemara says in the beginning of Mesech HaSukkah, something is only chotzeitz if it's both rubo umakbid, if it covers the majority of the body, and it's something that a person is makbid about. Midrabanan, something is chatzitza if it's either rove or makbid, if either it covers the majority of the body, or it's something that a person is makbid about. So the gemi is something that a person would be makbid about, because makbid means that the person is ever makbid, that there's ever a time that you wouldn't want it there. So you would imagine that a gemi is something that there's sometimes a time that a person would not want it there. There are very few examples. We never have a shaila lemaisa of a chatzitza midaraisa. Chatzitza midaraisa would have to cover the majority of the body and a person is makbid about it, so that would mean like a woman decides she wants to go to the mikvah in full scuba gear. That would be chatzitza midaraisa, because it covers the majority of her body, and she's makbid about it, even though she may enjoy scuba diving, but sometimes she doesn't like to be wearing full scuba gear, like when she goes to a chasana. It's not so nice to be wearing full scuba gear, so she'd be makbid about it in such an instance. Even the chatzitza midrabanan of rubo she'eno makbid, also we never have such shailas. What in the world would cover the majority of a person's body, and are they never makbid on having it there? Very, very, I can't even think of a single example of that kind of chatzitza. Every shaila we have in dine chatzitza is a miut hamakbid, something that covers a small part of the body, but a person is makbid about it. That's every example we have of chatzitza in halacha, pretty much. In this case also, the krichas gemi, if you really wrap the gemi around the Shem Hashem, it's going to be a chatzitza. And if you don't attach it tightly and water could get through, then I libe maya. Then water could get through and it's going to be a mechika anyway. So it has to be that the reason the chacham require krichas gemi has nothing to do with mechikas Hashem, because there's no isser of gram mechikas Hashem, just like there's no isser of gram kibui. And we're talking about a gemi that's going to allow water to get in. So the Gemara is going to have to give a different explanation of what this gemi functions as, what it serves to do, if it's not going to stop the mechika anyway. So it says in Gemara, chatzitza, wait, but before we even get to that, chatzitza, tebgalei mishum diyo. Anyway, the gemi isn't the chatzitza problem, you have a chatzitza problem anyway. The ink that's caked on the skin is a chatzitza problem. We're not talking about a tattoo over here. A tattoo is not a chatzitza. A tattoo is under the skin, it becomes part of the skin, and that's not a chatzitza. A lot of times you go to mikvahs, certainly in neighborhoods where there are a lot of balei tshuva, so you see chatzitzas that you see tattoos that are going to the mikveh. So that's not a problem in terms of chatzitza. There are sometimes are problematic tattoos that a person may want to get rid of, which is a major shaila la'alach. There's a famous tshuva in the Minchas Yitzchak, where the Minchas Yitzchak dealt with a fellow that had a tattoo of a bal tshuva, a chayal in Eretz Yisrael, a bal tshuva who had a tattoo of a woman who was undressed on his makom tefillin. And he wanted to know, can he put tefillin on his left bicep, where that's where that was the tattoo that he had. So the first thing you would say is put more ink in there, and therefore paint a dress on her or something. You know, put more ink in there. But that would be a vitra violation of giving himself a tattoo. So tattoo removal is probably the best etzah. But he discusses over there that if you can't do a tattoo removal, what you could do min b'mino eino chotzitz and put a piece of leather over that area of the skin, and that way it won't be inappropriate. But as far as Tevila is concerned, it's not an issue at all, because it's beneath the layer, it's beneath the skin. Over here we're talking about ink, though, and the ink that's caked on to the skin is most certainly going to be a chatzitza. So says Gemara Belacha. No, we're talking about where the ink is moist. Titania adam vadiyav advash v'chalav yaveshin chotzin lachem in chotzin. If you have any sort of liquid, whether it be blood or ink or honey or milk, if it's still moist, it's not going to be a chatzitza. Anything that's wet is not a chatzitza. It becomes like one with the water, so it's not considered to be a chatzitza between the water and one's basar. But if it's dry, it's going to be a chatzitza. So over here, we're talking about where the ink is still wet, and you understand why we're so concerned about the mechika. If it's still wet, then certainly you're going to be mochek the Shem Hashem. So mikol makom kasha. But bottom line is, we still need to explain the shita of the chachamim. What is the gemi serving to do? What function does the gemi have if it's not going to protect from the mechika Hashem? So says Mara Ella Amar Rava Bar Rav Shila, Haynu Tamayu Drabanan, De Kasavri Asr Lama Bifnei Hashem Arum. The reason the Rabbanan wrap the Gemi around, is the Rabbanan say you have to wrap the Gemi around, is because of kavod for the Shem Hashem. That when a person goes to the mitvah, they're totally undressed. So in order to be mechabit the Shem Hashem properly, they can't be totally undressed in front of the Shem Hashem, so they cover the Shem Hashem out of kavod for the Shem Hashem. Mechal Rabbi Yossi Savra Mutu Lama Bifnei Hashem Arum. So wait a second, does that mean Rabbi Yossi holds one is allowed to stand totally undressed in front of the Shem Hashem? He's allowed to expose his erva to the Shem Hashem? How could that be? Says, no. Even Rabbi Yossi would say you have to take your hand and cover wherever the Shem Hashem is written, al basaro, you have to cover it up if a person is going to the mikvah. So why didn't the Rabbanan think of that? So why do you need to find a gemi to be korich? Just put your hand over it. So because you might forget and you might move your hand, and then it's going to be a bizayon to the Shem Hashem. Rabbi Yossi Why isn't Rabbi Yossi concerned that you might forget and you might move your hand and therefore come to expose the erva to the Shem Hashem? So that's Gemara. Ella idi ika gemi hachinami. You know what? If there is a gemi that you could wrap around the Shem Hashem, everyone would agree. Rabbi Yossi would also agree. That's the best idea. That's a great way to make sure that you're not mevaz of the Shem Hashem. Sfasemis points out over here that the word Ella is l'chara out of place. Ella normally means that we're rethinking the whole reason that we just suggested. Meaning the whole chiddush we just suggested is that the purpose of the gemi is to protect the Shem Hashem from bizayon of being in front of an erva. But over here, we're sticking to that. We're just explaining what the nekudas hamachlokas is between Rabbi Yossi and the Rabbanan within that model, within that understanding that the entire concern is the covenant of the Shem Hashem. So Sfasemis tries to figure out why the Gemara uses the term Ella over here. But either way, idi ika gemi achinami, if there is gemi, everyone would agree you should use that. Question is, how far do you have to go to find a piece of gemi in order to wrap it around the Shem Hashem? Rabbanan savri tvila bezmana lav mitzvah umahadrinan. The Rabbanan say, you're in no rush to do the tvila right away, because even if looking for the gemi will cause a delay in the tvila, that's not a problem, because tvila bezmana is lav mitzvah. You don't have to be tovel dafka in the earliest man possible, on that day that the tvila would first work. You could do the tvila the next day and it would be just as good. Rabbi Yossi suffer tvila bezmana mitzvah v'lo ma'adrinan. Rabbi Yossi says, no, time is of the essence. If you have a mitzvah to be tovel today or tonight, then do not go around looking for gemi, which might delay your tvila until tomorrow, because tvila bezmana is mitzvah. One has to do a tvila in the proper zman. Rashi explains that someone's chayiv tvila, the pasuk says that v'hayi lifnos erev yirchatz b'mayim. So it sounds like the Torah is makbid v'hayi lifnos erev yirchatz b'mayim, that you have to do it mamish at the time that you can. You should do it on the yom tvila. Don't be ma'acher until laila to do the tvila. So Rashi writes that the chamu hold the tvila b'zman and lav mitzvah must explain the pasuk to be giving an etzah tova, that you should be tova lifnos erev in order to be tohar by that evening. Because if you're going to require harav shemesh as well, and you delay your tefillah until nighttime when you could have gone during the day, then you're going to have to wait till harav shemesh of the next day. It's not just going to set you back another hour or two by being tovel another hour, an hour or two later after the shkia. No, it's going to set you back 24 hours. You're going to have to wait till harav shemesh the next day. So the etzah tova is to be tovel as early as you possibly can. But that's the nekudas hamachlokas over here, whether tefillah bezman mitzvah or lav mitzvah. So says Mar, some Rabbi Yossi, tefillah bezman mitzvah. Says Rabbi Yossi, really holds tefila b'zman as mitzvah. Va'tanya, but we have a brayso that tells us hazava, hazava mitzora, v'mitzora as bo, nidu tmei meis tefilas and biyom, that this list of tmeim can all go to the mikvah during the daytime on the seventh day. So since their tevila is during the day, their tovel, even if Yom Kippur is the day of their tevila, because tevila b'zman a mitzvah. But nida v'yoledes, but a nida who's tamei for 7 days, or yoledes who's toveles after seven days if she gave birth to a boy, or 14 days if she gave birth to a girl, tevila san belayla. Their tevila is done at nighttime after those 7 or 14 days are over. So and since their tevila b'zmana is mitzvah, if you hold tevila b'zmana mitzvah, they'd even be able to be tovel on Yom HaKippurim. Even though Yom HaKippurim, there's an issur of bathing on Yom Kippur, but that's only a rechitza shel ta'anug, that's also a rechitza shel mitzvah. If you're bathing in order for a mitzvah, then it's going to be mutter. Balkeri tovel v'olik kol yom kula. And a person became a balkeri, where midrabanan we require tevila for balkeri, that's mitakanas Ezra, that babakamadav pebez, where we go through the takanas Ezra. So one of the takanas, and we learned about a lot of Mesechus Brachos as well. One of the Takanos Ezra is that a Balkeri has to go to the mikvah before he's Osek in Divrei Torah. So Balkeri is Tovel V'Holik Kola Yom Kulo. Since his Tevila, his Man Tevila is that day, he could be Tovel even on Yom HaKippurim. And even if he sees Tevila, even if he sees Keri rather, after he already davened Mincha, and he could just wait until nightfall and be Tovel before Marv, nevertheless, he should be Tovel right away, because Tevila is Man a Mitzvah. Meaning you could say, well, why does he have to go on Yom Kippur. Let him wait till after Yom Kippur is over, right before Maariv. Let him go to the mikveh then, and then he won't have to violate Yom Kippur. He won't have to bathe on Yom Kippur, and he won't have to violate the Takanas Ezra. He'll be able to daven his next tefillah after his tevilah. So Rabbi Yossi Oser min Amincha Lamayla, Rabbi Yossi Omer rather min Amincha Lamayla, Eino Tzorach Lidpol. Rabbi Yossi says no. If he became a Balker in Yom Kippurim after davening Mincha, then he does not have to be Tovel on Yom Kippur. He can wait until Motzai Yom HaKippurim, and then he could be Tovel on Motzai Yom HaKippurim and daven Marv at that time, because there's no mitzvah to dafka be Tovel Bizman. So you see that Rabbi Yossi's Shita is that Tefillah Bizmana is Lav Mitzvah. That's why we don't make the Balkeri go to the mikvah on Yom HaKippurim. If he doesn't have another tefillah that he has to still daven, he has no more tefillahs to say for the rest of the day, because he already daven mincha, so he can wait until Motzai Yom HaKippurim. The one thing that seems a little bit strange over here is we're talking about Yom Kippur. After mincha, you do have another tefillah before tefillah service. It's a little tefillah called Ne'ilah. It's a pretty emotional prayer for many people, right? So how could we forget about tefillahs Ne'ilah? So Rashi writes that even though tefillahs Ne'ilah, you could the tefillahs Ne'ilah also you could daven Belaila after your Tovel. You don't have to be Tovel B'yom in order to be able to daven Ne'ilah, and that way you'd be part from tefillahs Arvis, because Rabbi Yossi holds like the Shita of Rav in the end of Maseches Yuma that tefillahs Ne'ilah that you're Mespala Belaila is Poteres tefillahs Arvis. So it could be that that's what we're assuming over here, that you're going to daven Ne'ilah, but you're going to daven it after nightfall, and that's going to pater your Mariv. So the Gemara seems to be asking Stira with it. Rav Salvechik has a point where he suggests that Tfilas Ne'ila, based on the Lashon of the Rambam, that Tfilas Ne'ila only works in concert with the other Tfilas of the day. That if a person can make one Tfilah on Yom Kippur, don't make it Tfilas Ne'ila, because Ne'ila is where we're davening Takarosh Baruch Hu to accept all of our Tfilos from the rest of the day. But if there are no other Tfilos for the rest of the day, and the person's only doing Ne'ila, it doesn't work. You have to have the core Tfilos of the day, that Ne'ila is then going to be a powerful tefillah to help all of those other tefillahs. But anyway, so bottom line is we have a problem with Rabbi Yossi over here, a stira, whether Rabbi Yossi holds tefillah b'zman a mitzvah or Rabbi Yossi holds tefillah b'zman a lav mitzvah. So he, Rabbi Yossi, Rabbi Yehuda, he, da amar da'i l'tefillah ba'achrona. That no, there's a difference between Rabbi Yossi versus Rabbi Yossi, Rabbi Yehuda. The brisa that says Rabbi Yossi holds that you don't have to be tovel b'zman, that's Rabbi Yossi, Rabbi Yehuda, who says by a woman in the case...
It's really sharp here.
In the case where a woman comes and she has no idea when she became a nida or when she became a zava, she was lost in the midbar or something, and she comes, the Gemara Maseches Nida talks about, the Mishnah Maseches Nida talks about, and she has no idea when her tevila is, so there's machlokas. Does she have to do as many tevilos as could possibly be the right time for her tevila, or does she just do one tevila at the end of the possible time where she could require a tevila? So he holds, Rabbi Yosef Rivida holds, dial tevila ba'achrona. She doesn't have to do a tevila every time, because there's no din of tevila b'zman mitzvah. Rather, just wait till the very end, and then she'll do one tevila, and that will be good, and then she'll be tahora. So that's Rabbi Yosef Rabbi Yehuda's shita, as opposed to the Rabbi Yosef that we're quoting, who holds the tevila b'zman mitzvah. How do we pass in lech l'maisa? So clearly we pass in tevila b'zman lav mitzvah. That's why our mikvahos are closed on Yom HaKippurim, our mikvahos are closed on Tisha B'Av, because tevila b'zman lav mitzvah. The only reason a woman is encouraged to be tovel as soon as she can, the Shulchan Aruch says, is b'mishum peruvu, and also probably for Shalom Bayis also, it's a good idea for her to be tovel as soon as she can. But it's not mitzvah in the sense that it would not be docha Tisha B'Av or Yom HaKippurim when there's an iser of Tashmish Hamita anyway on those days. Or for example, if the husband's out of town, her Lel Tevila, let's say, is on a Sunday night, but the husband's on a business trip or something, he's not coming back till Thursday, and it's inconvenient for her to go Sunday night. Okay, so she can go Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, as long as she goes before the husband comes home. The whole point is only about being with the husband. It's not about tevila b'zman mitzvah. Even the very system that we have of when a woman actually goes to the mikvah seems to assume tevila b'zman lav mitzvah, because really a nidus toveles after 7 days from the beginning of her nidus, and the zava gedola is really toveles b'yom on the 7th day, not at night after the Shivanakiyim. And we assume that all women are Zavos Gedolos, even though many of them are probably Nidos and not Zavos Gedolos, and we wait until nightfall after the 7th day. So clearly we're assuming that Tevila Bizmana is lav mitzvah. That's what we assume, la halacha. Okay, new Mishnah now. Let's say, so you have a fire raging, lo aleinu, a person has a fire raging in their house on Shabbos, so what do you do? So nachri shabal l'chabos. If a nachri comes to extinguish the fire, ein omrim lo kabeh. You can't tell him to extinguish the fire. You're not allowed to instruct him to do so, ve'al techabeh, but nor do you have to tell him not to do it. So if he asks, do you want me to extinguish the fire? You cannot say, yes, you should extinguish the fire, because that's a violation of amira la'akum. That's even to just say yes, that's considered b'derech tzivoy. That's asking one, if he asked that question, should I extinguish? Yes means yes, you should extinguish. So that's called b'derech tzivoy, and that would be an iser of amir la'akum to ask him to extinguish it. But you don't have to stop him from doing it. If the fire department, someone called the fire department and they see a fire raging and the fire department comes and they extinguish, you have to say, no, Shabbos, Shabbos. You have to stop them from doing it. Because the Jew is not muzhar on the Shvisa of a Nachri on Shabbos. That's not entirely true. I mean, there are certain Nachrim that we are Musar on their Shvisa, namely our Avadim, we're Musar on their Shvisa. That's Mefurish in the Torah. But when it comes to Stam, a Nachri, a Goy Sheshav is Chayv Misa anyway, but even if even if he's Stam doing Malacha, we have no obligation to stop him. Aval Katan, Shabbal the Chabos, but if a Katan is coming to extinguish the fire, Ein Shomen Lo, you do not allow him to do it, you stop him from extinguishing the fire, because it's your job, it's Shvisasu Aleihen, the Gedolim are Musharim ala Katanim, to make sure that they're being Shoves mi Melacha on Shabbos. So the Ramah writes in Shulchan Aruch, the Ramah writes in Simen Tav Reish Nun Vav, in Hilchas Lulav, that someone who doesn't have an Esrog or any other mitzvah of Eres, he doesn't have to spend exorbitant sums of money, because even for a mitzvah of Eres. But he says, that's only for a mitzvah saseh. But for a mitzvah lo saseh, you have to give up kol mamono before you violate a mitzvah lo saseh. Says the Gra, the Bira Gra in Or Chaim over there on the spot, Sivkot and Vav, where do we know this from? They have to give up kol mamono in order to avoid violating a mitzvah lo saseh. Our sugya, there's a fire and a guy comes to put out the fire, you do not tell him, extinguish. The guy asks, should he put out the fire? You do not tell him to put out the fire, even though there's a chashash that all of your money is going to be gone. You're not allowed to violate. What is sir? Amir la'akum. Amir la'akum is a nisa d'rabanan. And even for a nisa d'rabanan, you have to give up all of your money. Obviously, it should be mentioned that all of this is assuming that there's no pikuach nefesh involved. Obviously, if there's a fire raging in our communities where homes are close to each other and we don't live like, with a moat surrounding our castles, so the fire could go and travel from one place to the other very quickly. There are gas tanks in our homes and things like that, gas lines and things like that, where the fire can get out of control very, very quickly. So it very often would be a situation of pikuach nefesh. But this is assuming in such a case, where there's no threat of the fire spreading to a point where it's going to put anyone's life in danger. So you have to lose all of your money, says the Bira Gra. Our sugya tells you this halacha. The Bira Gra says that from this raya you also see that even los seid rabbanon you're not allowed to violate, and you have to mivazis kol mamono in order not to violate los seid rabbanon, because amir la'akum is only a shvus. So the Radvaz writes similarly that someone who's nimsa ben anachrim and the only thing he can find to eat are dvar masurim, he has to be motzi kol mamono in order to find kosher food la'achila, not to eat dvar masurim, because even though the Rishonim say you don't even have to spend a shlish mamono for mitzvah veres like sukkah and lulav in order that you don't become poor and you don't have to be matel yourself on the tzibur, that's only a mitzvah sase, but a mitzvah lo sase you have to be motzi kol mamono. So that's what the Radvaz writes in the tshuva as well. Rav Eliashiv in the Kovitz Tshuvas in Chela Gimel Simon Chav Zayin explains the reason for it. Why do you have to be mivazis kol mamono for a mitzvah lo saseh? He says, because why is it that you generally don't have to be mevazveis everything? He says the had the Torah not been mechadesh v'chay behem, that you don't have to be moser nefesh on kiyum mitzvos haTorah, then a person would even have to be moser nefesh on kiyum mitzvos, like the halacha is by avodah zarah gilui arayos and shvichas dam. You have to be moser nefesh, but once the Torah says v'chay behem, so we say okay, now you don't need to be moser nefesh on these on the mitzvos other than those three. But that gilui of v'chay behem is only as far as being moser nefesh. But as far as mamono, the natural assumption is you have to give up everything. Had it not said v'chay behem, I would have thought everything means everything. everything, even your life. So now that you have a chaybem, we know, okay, it's not your life, but everything else, yes, you still have to give up everything else. What about mitzvah saseh then? Why don't you have to give up everything for mitzvah saseh? He says, because over there you have a svara, shami yani, v'yisrael klibiris. There are constantly new mitzvah saseh that are coming up. You're not necessarily going to have a challenge of having to violate mitzvah lo saseh all the time, but mitzvah saseh are going to keep on coming up. So if a person gives up all of his money for mitzvah saseh, he's not going to be able to do anything, and he's going to have to collect tzedakah. So that was a special din, that we can't spend so much money. It's irresponsible to spend so much money on a mitzvah saseh. So that's how Rabbi Yashiv explains why it is that for every lo saseh, a person has to be mevazves kol mamono, even a din derabanan. The svara that even a din derabanan is probably linked to the idea that dinim derabanan are also lo saseh, because the Torah tells us that lo sasur, and there from there we learn that you're not allowed to violate dinim derabanan. This is what the Radvaz points out in the Tshuva. So really, every single violation of a derabanan is really a lo saseh. That's how the Maram Shik is masbir Shitas Rashi. Rashi writes in Masechus Brachos that even though women are pater from mitzvah shazman grama, women are chayiv in mitzvah midrabanan shazman grama. Why? That's counterintuitive. You would think if it's mitzvah drabanan, it would be on a lower level, not a higher level of chiv. Why would women be chayiv in mitzvah drabanan shazman grama? So that's what Maram Shik points out in his Sefer HaMitzvos, that mitzvah drabanan shazman grama are really mitzvahs lo saseh, because any mitzvah drabanan is the mechayiv of every mitzvah drabanan is lo sasur. So everything is really based on a lo saseh. Okay, Vaitu, says the Gemara now, Am Rabbi Ami, b'deleika, hitiru lomar akol mechabe eno mafsid. If there's a fire in a Jewish home, the Jew is allowed to say to the Nachri, or in front of the Nachri, whoever puts out this fire is not going to lose out. Meaning, eventually, I'll reimburse a person who puts out the fire. So the Rishonim point out, Rashi and others point out, that it's dafka by a deleika that we allow this, because Adam bol al mamon. No, and if we don't allow him to at least say that, he might come to extinguish the fire himself. But by other malachos, we don't let him say such a thing. The reason we allow such a lashon is because it's not really a lashon shlichus. It's only a giloy das, that you're being megala, that you'd be pleased if someone put out the fire. But to say, kol ha-shamea kol yichda, whoever hears my voice should be mechabe the fire, that's a lashon shlichus that you're not allowed to say. Name him a sayayele, so we'll bring a raya that... To what Rav Ami just said, that you're allowed to say whoever is going to be mechabe is not going to be mafsid. Nachri shuvah lechabe say norm lo kaveh ve'altechab b'nei she'en shvisasu aleihen. You're not allowed to tell the guy to put out the fire, but you don't have to tell him not to put out the fire. But kaveh hu delo arminalei. But the diuk is, you're not allowed to tell him put out the fire. Hakol mechabe no mafsid arminalei. But apparently you are allowed to just be megaladas that if someone is mechabe, he's not mafsid. So that's a raya. Says Gemara, not such a great raya because aim a seifa. The Sefer goes on to say that you don't have to tell him not to put out the fire. If we're saying that you don't have to tell him not to put out the fire, so to be megaladas that you're happy with the kiboy sounds like it's also aser. Because if that were mutter, why does the Mishnah have to tell me that you don't have to be mocha and tell him al techabe? We should have said you're even allowed to say kol mechabe in a mafsid. That's even more chumer than being shosek and not being mocha. So it must be that dafka to be mocha biyado you don't have to do, but anything short of that is going to be usher. So apparently being megaladas is going to be usher. So if you really want to be medayik from our Mishnah, being medayik from al techabe, it would sound like it's usher just to be megaladas. El me'al lekal mishmah mina. So clearly our Mishnah can't be an indicator in one direction or the other, because you could have opposite diyukim from the two lines in the Mishnah. Tan Rabbanan. Now the Brisa tells us, ma'isav nafal deka b'chatzero shal Yosef ben Simai. In the village of Shichin, a fire broke out in the chatzer of Yosef ben Simai. So Yosef ben Simai, ubo anshe gistera shel tzipori l'chabos. So the government, the fire department came, meaning the people from the government came to put out the fire. Neisha apetrobe shel melechaya, because he was a very important government official. V'lo inichan mipnei kavod haShabbos, but he wouldn't allow them to put out the fire because of kavod Shabbos, meaning apparently not because of Isser Shabbos, as Marsha points out, because he knew that a nachri that's balich Lichbos. You don't have to tell them Al Techabe, like the Mishnah said. But it's because of Kavod Shabbos they didn't want to do it. He didn't want them doing a malacha on his property on Shabbos. V'nasalu neis, v'yardu g'sham v'kibu. And a neis happened, and rain came and extinguished the fire. La'erev shigar l'kalechon man shtei slotin. And that evening he went and he gave Hakparas HaTov to the fire department for their efforts, and he gave them all shtei slotin. We just had that story. I'm sure a lot of you saw there was a story going around. It was my sister's neighbor in Boca Raton, where there was a terrible fire, burnt down the entire house, and somehow miraculously the Sefer Torah that they had in their home, which is a 100-year-old Sefer Torah, was untouched. With all the fire and all the water, everything was destroyed. Baruch Hashem, the people were safe, but everything was destroyed, and the Sefer Torah managed to remain untouched. And then the entire community, or much of the community, went to the fire department a couple of days later to express Hakaras HaTov and to bring snacks and whatever to thank you notes to the fire department for all of their hard work. So here you have a Makar and Shas, that you go to the fire department and you say thank you, that here they didn't even put out the fire, but he went and he paid them for their services anyway. And to the fire chief, he gave 50 slime for coming to put out the fire. And the Chum heard about this Maisa, that he didn't really need to do this. This was really total Midas Chasidus. You don't have to tell an Akri that comes to put out a fire. Al Techabe, you can let him continue to put out the fire. Aval Katan Shabal Chabos Ain't Sham Nomination Shvisasu Alehen. A Katan comes to put out the fire. The Mishnah says, do not allow him to do so because Shvisasu Alehen, he's your responsibility. So Shamina Katan Ochlan Veilus Bezim Tzuvna Frisho. Apparently, if a Katan is Ochlan Veilus, but Katan's doing Isurim, the Bezim has to stop him from doing those Isurim. So you have to stop him not only about Ochlan Velos, but any Isur in the Torah. So over here, you have to stop him from violating the Malacha of Mechabe on Shabbos. And this is a Kasha on the one who holds that a Katan Ochlan Velos ain't Bezim Mitzuvan Afrisho. Because that's a Sugya, Maseches Yevamos, and Daf Kuf Yud Gimlam and Bez. The Gemara over there tells us that according to Rav Yitzchak Bar Bizna, if a person loses his keys, that the story was, Rav Yitzchak Bar Bizna lost the keys of the Beis Medrash in a Rosh HaSarabim on Shabbos. So Rabbi Pedas told him, here's what you do. Just take a bunch of kids and let them go play in the area, around the area where you lost your keys, and one of them is going to find the keys, and they're going to bring them to you. They're going to carry them in the Rosh HaSarabim. So apparently he holds that a Katan Ochel Nevelos ain't Beis Mitzvah L'Afrisho. You could set them up to do that Isser, that Beis does not have to stop them. So this is a Kasha on that Shita. How can you say ain't Beis Mitzvah L'Afrisho? Yet we have explicit in the Mishnah over here, when they come to put out the fire, you have to stop them from doing so. So Rabbi Yochum, a Katan Ochel Das Aviv. Now our Mishnah is talking about where the Katan is doing it because he knows that his father wants him to do it. So he's doing it on behalf, he's doing it for his father. That's where you need to stop him. But if he's just doing it for himself, he doesn't realize that he's doing something that his father would want him to do, then maybe you don't have to stop him. But wait a second, then why do you not have to stop the guy? If the guy is doing it for the Jew, the Jew's not allowed to be nana from a lach that a guy does for him. No, the Nachri's never really doing it for the Jew. He's doing it for himself. He knows that there's going to be a reward at the end of this, that he's going to get paid back for his efforts. So that's what he's really doing it for. He's not really doing it for the benefit of the Jew. Okay, new Mishnah. Kofen ka'ara al gabe aner. A person could take a ka'ara, a plate, and put it over a ner that's lit on Shabbos b'shil shlotachos b'kora, in order that the fire shouldn't latch on to the beams, the wooden beams that are on top of the fire that are in the ceiling and burn his house down. So you could put a kli over it to protect the beams from the fire. Val tsoa shel katan. You're also allowed to take a kli and put it over tsoa of a katan. Val akrav shalotishach. And also an akrav, there's a scorpion there, in order to prevent it from biting anybody. So the Mishnah is talking about an akrav that could kill someone that's chasing after someone. So Mishnah's clearly not talking about rather an akrav that's chasing after someone to kill someone, because if that's the case, then of course it's motzi. You could just kill it yourself because it's pikuach nefesh. That there would be no issue over here. The Mishnah is talking about an akrav that is not normally going to kill a person, is only going to be mazik a person when he bites the person. So l'kos tsar. So the chachamim allow trapping it by putting a kli over it, even though tzedos one of the avos malachos in the Torah, but that's only when you need the davar anitzod. But when you don't need the davar anitzod, then it's a malach shein shvicha l'gufa, and that's only in nisad rabbanan. So in order to prevent damage to a human being, you're allowed to do a malach shein shvicha l'gufa of tzeda when you don't need the item itself that you're trapping. So that's the whole discussion about trapping bees in the sukkah, right? If the bee is going to harm a person, so if a person is allergic to bee stings and it's mamish pikuach nefesh, then there's no shaila. You can kill the bees. If a person is not allergic to bees and it's just very, very painful, so then there's a lot of room to suggest that since it's machshen shrich legufa, to trap it underneath a cup, you're not trapping it to keep the bee, you're trapping it to keep it away from you, and it's b'makom tsar, that it could cause a person, so then it's just a question of how much tsar is tsar, right? Is the neshichas akrav way more tsar than what a bee sting is? And we say, nah, a bee sting is nothing, it's like a mosquito, it's not a big deal. Or do we say, no, a bee sting is painful enough that would rise to the level of tsar, that we'd be matir amlach shen tzrich legufa? That's the discussion that the poskim have. So I'm reading the Maisa b'lefnei Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai be'erev. One time a Maisa came to Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai in be'erev, in a place called Erev, it's the name of a place, where a person put a plate on top of an akrav that it shouldn't bite. Va'amar, and he said that since the akrav was not chasing after him to bite him, he says, I'm choshish that person is chayiv v'chatos for trapping the akrav on Shabbos. So says Gemara, Rabbi Yehuda, Rabbi Yemri bar Abba, Rabbi Chanan bar Rava, ichlul bei oven demin nishkaya, that three holy Amoraim went to oven's house in a place called Nishikaya. Who are they? Rabbi Yehuda, Rabbi Yemri bar Abba, and Rabbi Chanan bar Rava. So the Rabbi Yehuda, Rabbi Yemri bar Abba, isolate Puryasa. For two of them, he brought a nice bed to sit on, nice couch to sit on to enjoy their meal. The Rav Chanan bar Rava lo isolate, but Rav Chanan bar Rava, he didn't bring anything, he didn't show him that same level of hospitality. So Ashkei Masinle Lebrei, so Rav Chanan saw Ovin teaching his son something, he's teaching his son the din that we learned in our Mishnah, Altsoa Shel Katan Mipnei Katan, that you're allowed to take the Ka'ara and cover the Tsoa Shel Katan in order that the child should not mess himself up, shouldn't play with the tsoa, and then he's going to get dirty from it. So Amar Lei, so Rav Chanan, who was the one that was stiffed, right? He was the one that wasn't given the chair. So he expressed his displeasure by criticizing the Divrei Torah that the father was telling the child. So he says, Avin Shati, Masin Shtusa, Lebnei, Avin the fool is teaching foolish things to his child, because the tsoa shel katan, you need to be kofa kli, v'lo yatzma mukhanis leklavim. The tsoa itself is not mukta, it's mukhan from Michael Klavim. Klavim can eat it, dogs can eat it, so it's not mukta. You just take it yourself and throw it out. You want to get rid of the tzoa, you don't have to take a kli and cover it, just get rid of it. Oh, maybe you'll tell me no, but the tzoa wasn't there the day before, because the animal just produced it now on Shabbos, and therefore it's nolad, and that's what makes it mukta. But v'atanya naharos hamoshkin mayanos hanovin harein karagli kaladam, that even though we have a brisa that tells us that even though there is an isser of tchumin on Yom Tov, that just like a person is not allowed to go on Shabbos and Yom Tov beyond 2,000 amos in any direction, so too his kelim and his behemos are not allowed to go beyond the 2,000 amos of the owners of those kelim and the behemos. But let's say you have a river that flows, or you have a spring of water that's novea, that springs forth, so there is no specific place where it started Shabbos. It started Shabbos way far away, it wasn't even here when Shabbos started, this water, because it's been flowing downstream. But Harein Karagle Adam, they have the status of Ragle Adam. They have the same tchum as the person who uses them. Why? Because you knew that it was coming. So the same is true with the Tzavas Tarnagolim. You know that it's coming. You know that it's going to be coming, and therefore it's not going to be mukta, even though it wasn't there before Shabbos. So says Mar Vela Hechi Asnia. So how could we learn this Mishnah? Our Mishnah talks about Kofa Ka'ara. If you're going to tell me that the Tzavas is not mukta anyway, because it's right, Lemaichel Klavim, so it's not going to be mukta, why do I need to be Kofa Ka'ara on it? Just take the Tzavas and throw it out. Say Ema al Tzol Shel Tarnagolim Mipnei Katan. The way to understand the Mishnah is that you kofa kara on Tzol Shel Tarnagolim, which was muktzah, because Tzol Shel Tarnagolim is not roi lemaichel klavim, because that you're just covering up so that the katan shouldn't get dirty. So al Tzol Shel Katan means not shel katan, not a katan tzoa, but it means mipnei hakatan. It means because of the katan, you need to cover the tzoa, not of the katan, but the tzoa of Tarnagolim. So frankly, Gemara v'tepikle David Graf shalrei that the halacha should be anyway, even without the katan becoming dirty, it should be mutter to get rid of the tzoa, because it's a graf shalrei, because it's the kli that holds the tzoa. You're allowed to be metaltal on Shabbos to get rid of the tzoa in the ashpa, because it's disgusting to leave it around. V'chitem graf shalrei agav mana in iugufei lo, and maybe you're going to tell me no, graf shalrei is only if it's in a kli, so then you can move the kli that has the tzoa in it, but just to take the tzoa, that you're not allowed to be metaltal directly biyadayim, and therefore the Mishnah says not to take the tzoa, just to cover it with another kli. But no, you can't say that. Vahu achbar dishtachach isparmaki deravashi. There was once an achbar that was found in the place where Ravashi would store his besamim, va'amaluhu, and he told his servants, nakotu betutzise va'afkua, pick it up by its tail and get it out of here, because it's graf shalrei, it's disgusting to leave it around. Oh, but if a graf shalrei was only mutter to be metatal al yidei kelim, then how could he say pick it up by its tail? It's not picking it up by kelim. Elamai, the tzoma itself, you're allowed to move. So the Gemara is stuck with this kasha now. Why does the Mishnah say to cover the tzoas tarnagolim, even if it's tzoas tarnagolim? Why cover it with a kli? Just pick it up and get rid of it if you want to get rid of it. So answers the Gemara, ba'ashpa. We're talking about that the tzoa is already in the ashpa. So it's not there. It's not so it's not disgusting. It's not in your living quarters, and therefore there's no heter to take it out. Right? Why do we take out the garbage on Shabbos? So a couple of heterim, but the primary heter to take out the garbage on Shabbos is that allowing garbage to pile up in your kitchen where you live is disgusting, and it's unseemly to live like that. So that's graf shalrei. So you're allowed to take out the garbage on Shabbos, even though all of the items in the garbage are in fact mukta, so you're allowed to remove them because of graf shalrei. But if it's already in the ashba, so then let's say you want to move one of your garbage cans outside to a different spot on the property for whatever reason, you think it's unsightly or whatever where it is on the property, but it's full of garbage, and so it's probably not mutter, because then it's not ruining the way you're living on Shabbos. It's not getting in the way of anything. It's already out there. It's already in the ashba. You're just trying to straighten out the cans or something, that's probably not okay to do. So if you're talking about where it's in the ashba, the katan ashba my bayle. So says Mar, what's a katan doing in the ashba? Why are you worried that the katan is gonna get dirty? Says Mar b'chatzer. We're talking about where the tzoa was in the chatzer. So since a katan is often found in the chatzer, we're choshish that he's gonna get dirty from the tzoa. Chatzer nami graf shel reihu. Says Mar, well, it's in the chatzer. Chatzer is a usable area, so that it would still be graf shel reihu. You could still get rid of it from the chatzer. It says, no, be ashba shel b'chatzer. It's in the corner of the chatzer where you keep the ashba. So that's where you're allowed to move it, because the katan will wander off into that area, but it's not part of your living quarters. It's not where you would, it's not the part of the chatzer that you would normally use for normal things. So that's why you're allowed to get rid of it. Okay, v'alakrav shel tisha. We said then you're allowed to cover up an akrav so that it doesn't bite you. Amrim shel levi, kol hamazik na'arug b'shabbos. Anything that's damaging, that's harmful, you could kill on Shabbos. Masav Rav Yosef, chamisha na'arug b'shabbos. There are five animals you kill on Shabbos, Velu Hain, Zvuv Shabbat Mitzayim, Vitzir Shabbinin, Veva Akrav Shabbichadyov, Vinach Shabbat Sol, Vikelav Shot, Bekal Makom. So, money, who's the one that identifies just five animals that you're allowed to do this to on, that you're allowed to kill on Shabbos? Elim, Rabbi Yehuda, Hamlach Shein Shrikhulagufa, Chayavala, Rabbi Yehuda, Zamlach Shein Shrikhulagufa, Yerchayav. So, killing these mazikim, even though it's not done for the sake of Natilis Neshama, which is Mlach Asura, it's done just to get rid of them, that they shouldn't hurt you, Rabbi Yehuda holds you chayiv on such a thing. So how could the Braisa allow you to kill these mazikim? El lav Rabbi Shimon. So hani udesharyach rinilo. Must be that we're assuming like Rabbi Shimon and Mlach Shein Shrichul Gufa is pater. And yet it's still just these five, and you're not allowed to kill other things. So that's a kashan. Rabbi Shimon Levi who says that you're allowed to kill any mazik. So I'm Rabbi Yom, your man name Allah and the Hamid Taresti, Dilma Meshabeshti. Who told you that this Braisa is an authentic Braisa? Maybe the Braisa is a mistaken Braisa. I'm Rabbi Yosef Anan Masinila Vosivnila. He said, I taught this Braisa, and I asked from this price on Rabbi Shimon Levi, Vana Mitaritzna, and I'll explain to you that you shouldn't ask from this price on Rabbi Shimon Levi how to answer this question. That this halacha that Rabbi Shimon Levi is talking about is Baratzu Achra, V'divrei HaKol, is talking about a mazik that's chasing you, and that's why you're mutter to kill it, even according to Rabbi Yehuda, the Machshin Shrikhul Gufa is Chayiv, and certainly according to Rabbi Shimon. But the price that I was talking about that only allows killing five mazikin, that's when they're not chasing after you. Tani Tana Kameh, the Rav Bar Rav Huna, Hahorig Nechashim Akrav Meshabbos. If a person kills Nechash Ma'akrav on Shabbos, Ruach Hasidim is not happy with him. So those Hasidim the Chacham aren't happy with, because it's a good idea that the person should kill the Nechash Ma'akrav on Shabbos, because even though they're not mazikim right now, they're going to be mazik somebody when they get angry. So pliga the Rav Huna. So says the Gemara that Rava who said to those Chacham that are cholik and Rav Bar Rav Huna that it's against against Rav Huna. The Rav Huna chazi lehu gavra. Rav Huna saw a certain person, the kakatel zibura, that was killing a wasp. So amale shilimatinu lukulu. Did you kill all of them? Meaning, what are you helping by killing one wasp? There are lots of wasps in the world. So from Rav Huna we see that it's usher to kill these mazikim that are not chasing you, that are not chasing anyone, that are not going to be mazik anyone imminently, against his son Rava bar Rav Huna, who allowed killing the chashma krabim on Shabbos, since they could potentially do damage. Tanu Rabbanan, damu l'chashma krabim. If you encounter l'chashma krabim, haragan. If you kill them, biadua, it's a davri yadua shenizdamnu lo, that lahargan, that it's nizdamnu nashamayim, in order that you should be able to kill them. Lo aragan, but if you didn't kill them, biadua shenizdamnu lahargo, that it was nizdamnu nashamayim, that to kill you. Venasla nesmu nashamayim, and you should know that a miracle happened that it didn't kill you. So if you were zocha to kill it, then that was your job. It was put there so that you can kill it to save the world from this dangerous creature. If you were not zocha to kill it, then you can assume that minashamayim was sent to kill you. Amru lavitem rabbi ravichana, amru rabbi yochanan, bin yishofen bo, that's only if it's hissing against you. Amru rabbi abrakana, pamachas nofalachad beis medrash, va'amad niyusi echad, there was one in the beis medrash, a nachash in the beis medrash, and a guy got up, va'arogo, and killed it, amru rabbi pagabo kayotzebo, that he encountered someone that's just like him. So he boilu, pagabo kayotzebo, the shabri of it, Allah, is that a compliment that, you outdid him, or is it like you're a snake, just like him? So the Gemara doesn't know. So Tashma says, "Well, I'll bring a riot." Rabbi Abba Reid, Rabbi Chia Bar Abba, Rabbi Zera, Havu Yasvi Kila Debei Rabbi Yane. They were on the Rabbi Yane's porch. Nafak Milsam Ibinayu, and there was a shmua that came out from between them. Bomine Me Rabbi Yane, and they asked Rabbi Yane, "Mau Larg Nachashma Krabim B'Shabbes? Are you allowed to kill Nachashma Krabim B'Shabbes?" I'm Lu Tzirani Harig Nachash V'Akrav Lo Kolshkein. I would even kill a wasp. Of course, Nachash and Akrav. So says Mar Dilma Lefitumo. Maybe he's just talking about if you would step on it as you're walking, but not to actually actively kill it. Dam Rav Yehuda, roke dorsal lefitumo. If there's saliva on the ground, you're allowed to step on it, even though you're memareach it into the karka, because you just happen to be walking. Vam Rav Sheshes, nachash dorsal lefitumo, Vam Rav Ketina, akrav dorsal lefitumo, and nachash and akrav also lefitumo, you're allowed to kill it. Okay, we're not at a great stopping point, but we'll stop there anyway. Be'ez Hashem, tomorrow we'll pick up with Abba Bar Marta at the bottom of the page. Everyone have a great day.